Good morning. I'd like to give a very special happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I like the word dad better than father because I tell you, barring something physical, just about anybody can be a father, but not anybody can be a dad. And there's a few out there that probably shouldn't, out in the world that probably shouldn't be dads. But anyway, happy Father's Day to everybody. And moms, thank you. We couldn't have done it without you. Fathers are a special breed. Like I said, anybody can become a father. That's just a biological occurrence. But not everybody can be a dad. And that goes for not only biological fathers, but adopted fathers. People that have kind of taken the role of a dad. I've known people that have kind of had no relation, maybe no family connection, but have kind of become that father role to people. That's important. And interestingly enough, it goes both ways. It's important for the fathers, but it's also very beneficial for the one receiving that mentorship, that being under the wing of that father figure. Our scripture reading, appreciate Dick reading that. It was Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We're not necessarily talking financial right now. How nice it would be, you know, I'm not going to be able to leave a lot of money to my son. But I hope I leave a lot to him. I look at my father. And I'm sure if you look back, hopefully you had a wonderful father. That's not always the case with everybody. You know, some people that grew up in a less than desirable situation, this may be words to you, but we have the example of what you may have grown up without that example. The Bible gives us what the ideal should be and gives us the teaching of what a good father should be. And it'd be nice if we could all leave our children oodles and gobs of money and get them set up in life. Not going to happen in the Eubank household. I look at my dad, though. The things that he left me, that he's been gone 25 years, but the things that he's left me, I will have forever. You know, the money a dad leaves will be spent on a car or a house or whatever. But hopefully the things, the inheritance, what is some of that inheritance that a father leaves to his children and his children's children? A family name. One thing I never had to worry about growing up, I was never embarrassed of being my dad's son. I'm sure some of the things I did maybe embarrassed him a little bit, probably put a little tarnish to that family name. But how nice is it for somebody to give you a name that you can hold your head up for. A reputation in the community, in the neighborhood, that you've got that name. How to be a man. That's something that a dad, a father, gives to their son. What a true man is, and what a true man isn't. The world teaches an awful lot about what they look up to. What impresses the world. But a true dad teaches their children what a real man is. How to be a husband. A son learns mostly how to be a husband from his father. How to treat a woman. How to treat their mother. Fathers, if you want to give a good lesson to your children, treat their mother properly. You're not only teaching your son what it is, how to be a husband, you're teaching your daughters what to look for in a husband. You teach them values. Don't let the world teach them what's important. Amen. You teach them what is important in values. Because I tell you, Christian values and worldly values usually don't measure up. Amen. I look at some of the young people. I look at Kendall and Emerson over here, some of the things that they're exposed to maybe in school of what the world teaches as is acceptable. Luckily, they're coming home every night to godly parents, teaching them the true values, teaching them a work ethic. One of the things my dad taught me was work ethic. I know Daryl and I have had many conversations about the work ethic his dad instilled upon him. And these are things dads teach. You learn it one way or the other. Does dad cut every corner and look for the easiest way out? Does dad call in sick every chance he gets? Or is he there rain or shine? When it's tough, when it's easy, things like that. Children learn about God through the dad. And mothers, I'm not leaving you out. They learn from the parents. But the father, we had a lesson a few months or so ago, the buck stops here. The buck stops with the father in the home. They learn about God. And those of you mothers that did double duty as mother and father, or you fathers that did double duty as father and the role of a mother. My hat goes off to you. I had enough trouble just playing, wearing one hat. You learn about God through your parents. How to pray. Do they see dad praying? One, does dad pray? Do they see him praying? Does he pray with you? The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. our children, we teach them to pray. We teach them how to deal with other Christians. When we disagree, when we get along, when there maybe is strife, little ears and little eyes see a lot. Do they see and hear when we disagree with brother or sister so-and-so? Do they see the hypocrisy that we might display toward other Christians? They teach, fathers teach about the priorities of life. What is important? What is important to Dad? Does God come in the top five of Dad's life? Is it number one? Is it in the top five? Is it in the top 10 things of his life? Is it a by the way? Same with prayer. I see Dad pray all the time. I see Mom and Dad praying together. Mom and Dad pray with us. What's the priority that the Dad sets about attendance? We'll stay up late on Saturday night to do this fun thing. The kids were just a little too tired. We had a big day Saturday. We'll just sleep in. It's my only day off. You're teaching them about work ethic. Well, it's my only day off. Kids see what is a priority in your life. Kids will see if going golfing is a, you know, how big of a priority is. Well, I'll go golfing, wind, rain, sleet, or snow. Well, they see me go to church. I hate that term. I use it all, going to worship. We are the church. I don't like that term, we're going to church, but I use it all the time. We are the church. The priorities, we teach our children about what is important to us. It is important for me to, a new movie's coming out. Let's pack up. We're going to go stand in line hours early to get in for this movie. The new Star Wars 105th episode is coming out. Rambo 41, you know. New Rambo's coming out. You know, he's fighting another guy for, you know, that's trying to take his stuff in the old folks' home or whatever. And, you know, Rocky starts training, you know, dun, 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 with his walker. But we will stand in line for a movie. They be there early, but we'll come in late for worship. Ouch! He went there, didn't he? We teach our children about what's important in our lives. How important it is to do things. And it's not just biological parents. We see the relationship of Paul and Timothy. No relation. They were as close as a father and a son. In three different verses, Paul refers to Timothy as my true son in the faith. My beloved son. Paul wasn't Timothy's father. They were as close, probably closer than the biological father. Called him my son. Same situation with the Apostle Peter and Mark, John Mark. He calls him, Mark, my son. Now, you know, Peter had other children because he was an elder. In 2 Peter, he talks about how he's a fellow elder. But yet, he and Mark were as close as father and son. Traveled together, worked, preached the gospel together. There are blood ties, and then there's Christian ties that sometimes are even closer. Not everybody in here is a parent. That doesn't keep you from being a mentor to somebody. To being a mentor, taking somebody under your wing, like Peter did. And giving them, your children may be grown and out of the house. Hopefully, you're still an influence on them. I like to think I still am, even though my son's married and moved out. But even if they are, you can take somebody else under your wing. Teach them. Train them. Give them somebody to lean upon. Not everybody had a strong Christian upbringing by a Christian father. Give it to them like Paul and Peter did with somebody else. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. We talked about one of the things that a father can give as an inheritance is a good name. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Is that one of the things that we as fathers give our children? A good name and loving favor. Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, the righteous man. Now, it qualifies it as the righteous man. You got to be a righteous man first. Walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Doesn't mean that they can ride his coattails. Doesn't mean because grandpa was a sound gospel preacher that you're going to ride his coattails to heaven. Does not mean that. But it does mean that you receive some benefit because of this man that was righteous. It's going to rub off on you. He walks in his integrity, and his children are not going to be cursed because of that, because of him being good. What a great thing that by the way you live your life, your children benefit. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child. Train. It just doesn't happen. Amen. It's a conscious effort. It takes planning and it takes effort. It just doesn't happen. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That foundation will be there. Now, they still have that choice. I think of the prodigal son. That prodigal son had been trained by the dad. He got a wild hair and wanted to go out on his own. He did. He made that choice. The way the dad had trained him did not keep him from wanting to sow his wild oats. But when he did, and as it said, when he came to his senses, when sense came back into the picture, he knew where to go back to. He knew where the anchor was. We have to train our children. You know, we train our pets. We train plants. If we don't train plants, they just go all over. You train them to go. You train your children. One of the worst things we can do. Oh, but I love my children. I don't want to discipline them. If you love your children, you will discipline them. You just won't let them go wild like a plant or a pet. In Deuteronomy 6, we see these concepts, even though this was the Old Testament, this concept is alive today with us. It was Old Testament, New Testament, now. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Not be in the top 10, not be in the top 5 of priorities. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Well, I got to do this. Yes. But everything should be based on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Heart, not just on your mouth, not just on your lips, in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Here's where that training comes in. Diligently is a lot of effort. Not just one of those, I told you once, you're on your own. I taught you those principles, you know. I read them to you once. Why don't you remember them? You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's part of your life. Not just when you're sitting around in the house. You're talking about when you're going about your day. Well, talk about them. Let them see the example. Live the example. Stress the example. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, many of the Jews took this literally, and they would bind scriptures on their arm. They would tie it to their heads. The key is, are you living it? Can people see it in your life? Can people see you as a Christian from afar by your conduct? By the way you live your life? And can your children see it? Or is Christianity something that you put on Sunday morning with your clothes and you, quote, go to church, and the moment the last amen is said and you're out the door, you're living a different lifestyle? This is saying you live that life. You diligently teach your children when you're in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you rise up. You live it. And you're showing others that they should be able to see that this person is a Christian. And what kind of a Christian? That home is a Christian home. Not because it has a sign on the gate, but by the way you live your life. I look at David on his literal deathbed, what he was concerned about. Now, I'm sure there was probably other things in his mind that was not recorded. But as David was coming to the end of his life, he was concerned of passing on things to his son Solomon. And we have recorded a couple of different places some of the things that were important to him. In 1 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth." As David's laying on his bed, he realizes, one, I'm a man of God. That doesn't keep me from dying. I am a person of God, and I'm going to go, that's God's way. I'm going to go all the way of all the earth. And he tells Solomon, be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, what a real man was, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. This is one of the last things he's telling his son. You be a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Not as you think, but as it is written, that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn. That's conditional. You follow God, life is going to be a lot better for you. Life is going to be better for you, Solomon. I'm about to die. These are the things that I stress to you. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the Lord your Father, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you." If you seek him, he will be found by you. God's not playing hide and seek. God's not trying to keep himself from us. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. That's very plain. And these are some of the last things David was wanting to impart on his son Solomon. Fathers, in closing, it is a great joy and an honor being a father. But with it comes a great deal of responsibility, not only to your children, but to God. We've got a wonderful training manual of how to be a father. It's called the Bible. Mothers, thank you for the help that you give us. Like I said, without you, we couldn't have done it. But let's be the fathers that we see in the Bible. Let's be a father and an influence, whether we're biologically a father to somebody. Let's reach out and be that Paul or Peter to somebody. Teach them, train them, keep them under our wing. Be that example to them. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you have not been baptized, I urge you to do so. Peter said, when the crowd cried out on the day of Pentecost, when they were cut to the heart, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. If you have not been baptized, you have not had your sins forgiven. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Peter gave us the recipe. Repent and be baptized. If you need prayers of the congregation, please let your request be known. We will pray with and for you. If you need to repent of sin, don't let this day end keeping sin in your life. Repent of sin. Turn back to God. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation, and we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.